Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings, you're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana, and I'm here with my co-host, Rose Marcus. Welcome back,
Hello.
Rose.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Kristen. Great to be doing the show again with you this month.
Yes, we are in May, the third week of May, and a lot is still happening the remainder of this month, but before we get into all of that, Rose, you're going to be speaking at NORWAC, the 40th anniversary of NORWAC on Memorial Day weekend. Is that right?
Yeah. Can you believe this conference has been going on for 40 years? That is unbelievable. Like nothing lasts that long, really. I'm very excited to be presenting. And for anyone who's listening, who is attending, by all means, introduce yourself if I don't know you already. And I'm very much looking forward to it.
It's going to be wonderful. And 40 years ago, the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green, was one of really the astrologers that was instrumental in working with Maggie Nalbandian, who was Laura Nalbandian's mother, to put this conference together. And this was, about when the Pluto book came out, and shortly after, in the 80s. So very cool that it's still so successful and really a wonderful opportunity to see so many incredible astrologers speak live. So anyway, enjoy yourself. And I'm looking forward to sharing insights with everybody the next hour and to prepare you all for, June, but there's still loads left in May. So let's get into that a little bit. Really, the day before this show goes live, we have a full moon in Sagittarius that Rose and I spoke about last month that we were pretty excited about because it's so well supported by Pluto and by the nodal axis as well. And so I don't know so much if it's the nodal axis, but for sure by Pluto will be trining the sun and sextiling this full moon. And I'm mentioning this too, because when a full moon occurs, it can really lay the emotional foundation for the 2 weeks that follow. And so even though you're going to be listening to this after this full moon occurs, it's going to be reverberating for sure. And also, some significant things are happening on May 23rd will have happened on the Thursday and Friday and Saturday of May. And there's more that even follows from there. But, Pluto, which is a planet of the soul, the planet of empowerment, it's literally, your fingerprint in a sense, and those deeper vibrational energies, that lead you forward is transiting Pluto in the sky, is working to unearth more of what your soul has come here to do or to express. And I really feel that this alignment is helping you reconnect with what's true for you. And on the very same day, on May 23rd, Thursday, Venus changes signs from Taurus to Gemini. Now, on the full moon, which occurs prior to that, on that same day, in Sagittarius, Jupiter, which rules Sagittarius, will have been, by the time you listen to this, conjunct Venus. So Jupiter and Venus conjunct at the 29th degree in Taurus. Venus rules Taurus. And then Venus moves into Gemini. Jupiter rules the full moon. That's a lot of information. But what it essentially means is that the truth of you and the truth of what you need and the truth of where you want to go and want to experience will be unearthed if it hasn't been already. And you will have, really, I feel, a compass at your fingertips. What do you think about that, Rose?
That's a lovely way to put it, Kristen. And that Jupiter and Venus conjunction is also in a lovely sextile to Neptune, which is at 29 degrees of Pisces. So I think that this full moon has lots of potential. It has lots of promise, right? You know, so whether that it takes place now or unfolds over a period of time, as you said, you know, the full moon is going to play out over the 2 weeks to the next new moon. But I also think that it might reverberate a little bit longer than that, just by the nature of what we have going on right now. So I think that this is quite quite potent. I think that we've been laboring through the month of May, you know, all this Taurus energy. It's been a bit of a grind. It's been a bit slow and so on. And as this full moon occurs, as Venus moves into Gemini, and then on the 25th, we have Jupiter starting its one-year transit through Gemini and coming up to the month of Gemini, where Mercury is going to be in Gemini, the Sun in Gemini. You know, we've got some mobilization right around the corner here.
Absolutely. I, you know, love what you said about the energy continuing, and it really feels ethereal in nature as well, because of the sextile of Jupiter and Venus to Neptune and Pisces at the 29 degree mark, which is the last degree before we change signs. And Neptune's been hovering there a long time. It is otherworldly when we involve Neptune. It is an invisible energy. There can be this cosmic experience that you have, whether through dream or through this feeling that there's a presence with you. It can be that way. I really love these energies for people that meditate or really are working in nature in some way to expand their consciousness. If you're doing that, wow, the Taurus energy really roots you and grounds you, and then that Neptune energy just lifts the ceiling. And so I hope we can all experience more of that, because it really is an energy of unconditional love, of peace, of just perspective, truly. Moving, you know, Taurus is so much, we call in evolutionary astrology, Jeff Green used to teach about being like the frog in the well, where you can only see your part of the sky. When it's in Taurus, sometimes you don't have the whole picture of what's happening. But when you link it with Neptune, it's like the well dissolves, right? And then you can see more of the sky. You can see more of your path. You can see more, maybe even too, you can really experience more of why you've been calling certain things in, and then heal beyond where you've been, or reach a greater potential of something that you've been toiling over or working with. I love that word, toil, for Taurus. What do you think?
So. Yeah, most definitely. Well, and also to supporting that full moon, there's a lovely trine between the Sun and Pluto, Sun in Gemini, Pluto in Aquarius. And that, you know, facilitates synchronicity. I that's one of my favorite words, synchronicity. You know, when things kind of fall into place, when the moment synthesizes itself, when the idea, the motivation, the impetus, the opportunity just kind of falls into place of like, oh, I think I'll just do this right now. And how that begins the motion that is really, you know, Gemini is like a domino, right? You know, it's one thing leads to another. And that's how all that synchronicity goes.
Domino. That is such a perfect word for Gemini. I swear, every time we get together, Rose, here, new words for these archetypes. It's so good. And so a domino effect for sure is Gemini. And you're bebopping from one thing to the next. And before you know it, you're just in a whole another place, you know, whether you're going one direction or another. But things can happen fast. Definitely fast with these transits, where we go from this Taurus Earth energy. It's plotting. It's for sure. It's purposeful. It's pragmatic. Sometimes it's practical. It can be. We're looking at finances. We're looking at all sorts of things that are material and of this world, of this earth. And then, you know, obviously we've got this wonderful opening with Jupiter. I love the synchronistic energy you spoke about. Serendipity is also another wonderful Jupiter word, which, you know, you just find yourself at the right place at the right time. And it's just magical when that happens. And I think for sure that can be your reality for the next few weeks in this regard. So yeah, to go from earth to air, it's literally like something's taking flight and you get excited about all sorts of things, whether you're learning something new or you're planning a vacation or even a fun weekend outing or one day outing, whatever it might be. But I would just encourage everybody to really ask yourself, you know, what kinds of choices can I make today that represent my growth? Are these choices that are leading me well in my life? Are they leading me forward in my life? So these are good questions to ask. And oh my goodness, I just remembered something, Rose. On Saturday, when Jupiter enters Gemini, you ready? I know you know this. Mars and Aries will be at the exact same degree as it was during the eclipse. Total solar eclipse on April 8th. Boom! Saturday. Boom. Wow, powerful day for an astrology conference, I have to say.
Well, there you go. And, you know, as I always say, to watch when these planets re-trigger important things like the eclipse. Also, I can't remember whether we said that already or not, but Venus will trine Pluto also when Jupiter moves into Gemini as well, too. So it's a really good start. You know, I have to say, past few weeks, Kristen, I have had such a hard time getting to the gym or getting for my walks in the forest. You know, I'm a fire sign. I like energy. I like, you know, I like physical activity, and I've really had to push. That's a real Taurus archetype, huh?
Yeah. It is. We can get lazy, can't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like being mobile, so the Gemini archetype, I can hardly wait. And I have to ask you, you have Jupiter in Gemini as well, too, don't you?
Yes, I do, yes. But not to a later degree.
Okay, and mine as well. I think ours our planets are conjunct, right? You know, so Jupiter in Gemini. Jupiter is travels through a sign for 1 year. So it takes 12 years to go around all 12 signs of the zodiac. So this is 12 years ago, wherever Jupiter was, it's crossing the same area of your chart that it was 12 years ago. And you can think about those Jupiter transits. What was happening for you 12 years ago, or 24 years ago, or 36 years ago, and so on. And the cycle also, too, breaking that down into what was happening 6 years ago, for example, because those are the quarter turns or the half points of the cycle as well, too. So interesting to think back, because you'll get a little sense about Jupiter is always a growth principle. It is an expansion archetype. So wherever it is sitting in your chart, that is going to increase, enlarge the scope of whatever that subject is, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so Jupiter, we like to think about as being an energy that really wants to be a benevolent energy in our life, right? So it wants to expand anything it touches. But every planet and every archetype type has a light and a shadow. So there's not a good planet and a bad planet. It doesn't work like that. Even Jupiter can feel problematic if we're barking up the wrong tree, right? Like if we're headed down the wrong path or energizing something that's not good for us, it can expand that and make something so apparent and so obvious and so obnoxious that we're like, what are you doing? What am I doing here? What am I doing walking down this path or moving down this road? And so the teaching for Jupiter for all of us, because it will give us information when it's in Gemini. It's going to give you some good information. It helps us all have more. I really feel like we can become more intuitive with Jupiter and Gemini, because Gemini is ruled by Mercury, right? That's the left brain. So it's almost like I see this as Jupiter spilling into our left brain on purpose, right? Really helping us. And so if it's doing that, we need to pay attention to our intuition. We need to really, really check in with ourselves, you know, do a hip check, gut check. And with that said, you know, it's important to, again, make sure that we are not energizing things in our life that aren't good for us, because Jupiter can exaggerate that. So the teaching is to give up something to make room for something better. And, you know, of course, the classic example is if you're miserable in a job and you can't just quit the job and hope something new is going to show up. We do have to prepare for these things. We have to be responsible, of course. But it may be asking you, if you have, you know, many things that you're interested in order to not dissipate your efforts in some way and not make as good of an impact, is if you clear some of these things that are taking up space so you can bring more of yourself to the things that you're really driving now. And I would suggest with Gemini, because the tendency is to be interested in many things, is to not allow yourself to have too many balls in the air. So two or three areas of focus, for example, don't go 4 to 5, or you will, you know, do a face plant. Really, it's just too much. It's too much. So yeah, to keep energizing the things that, you know, you are interested in, just be sure that you're keeping them relatively tailored and not too many.
Yeah, because, you know, Jupiter is one of the planets that most people think of as fortuitous and lucky and benefic and, you know, all of that stuff, which it is, it's gifting. But Jupiter is a planet of excess and overdoing it and overwhelm. And actually, that's a great way to put it, spilling over, you know, it can be too much of a good thing, you know, too many variables, too many options, too many half attempts at things, and so forth. So Jupiter in Gemini is considered, you know, by traditional astrology to be in its detriment, because Gemini is about diversification. And when you get, you know, Jupiter is about direction, and you get the two of those together and you're just flying all over the map, right? You know, so it's a scatter pattern. It's a scatter energy. And I don't know about you, Kristen, but having Jupiter in Gemini, one of my big deals is having too much on the go all the time and having too many ideas and not being able to, you know, pick the one out of the pile and so on and so forth. So this is part of the folly of that Jupiter in Gemini, is to remember not to, as you just said, you know, 2 or 3 are better than 5 or 6, right? You know, pick the right one good one, or allow there for to be a couple of variables, but don't do the weak stuff. You know, don't do the weak stuff. Like, you know, if you have 10 things that you want to do, what's you know, the top 1, 2, or 3 on the list? That would be your better choice. And I have to say that we're going to talk about this after the break, but if you are uncertain about how to rein yourself in or qualify what those better options might be, or the picks that you should start on first, I think that coming up in the month of June, some of that's going to be qualified, because there are a number of transits that are going to go through checkpoints with Saturn. And so that Saturn is going to show you or prove to you of those options, which are the ones that would be most worthy of taking forward.
Excellent. That was very well said. Okay, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit spafinders.com. At spafinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on spafinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, oh, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
We have returned from a break, and wow, we're still in May. So, and before we move fully into June, oh my goodness, if all this Gemini energy wasn't enough speed for you all, we end May just plugged in, flying by the seat of our pants, potentially, because Mercury is conjunct Uranus. And Mercury, the higher octave of Mercury is Uranus. They are considered the true brothers, because really Uranus is the innovative genius energy, the downloads we get from some other dimension, something very progressive, it can be an energy that's really ahead of the times, outlandish, eccentric, alternative. Mercury is the way we think about things, how we express ourselves. When these two planets can combine in this way, you can feel plugged into some other source of energy, as long as you're tuned in and conscious and aware of these things. Because otherwise, I think it can be a nervous energy. It can be a stressful energy, potentially. I would just suggest, and I am so not the doomsday astrologer. I'm just not. If anything, I really lean the other direction. But, you know, we have to be paying closer attention while we were driving, right? For example, it's a classic accident transit. So, I mean, silly things. It could be even in the house, you know, you're dropping dishes or what have you. Our nervous system is just going to be racing for a day. But it also, if you know how to channel this energy, you know how to work with it, it can just be absolutely incredible, inventive. So just, it's one day, it's a couple of days, you'll be feeling it the 30th, 31st. And depending on where it is in your chart, I do think it's a breakthrough energy also. So work with it, know what's happening, and allow yourself to partner with it.
And that's kind of a nice aspect moving into the beginning of June. On the 2nd of June, Mercury is sextile Neptune, and Jupiter forms a lovely trine to Pluto. On the 3rd, Mercury moves into Gemini and is trine Pluto. And on the 4th, which is the Sun-Venus superior conjunction starting a new cycle, we also have Mercury conjunct Jupiter on that day as well, too. So just after this transit that you were talking about, Kristen, we have a nice run there for a few days immediately following. So I think whatever that Mercury-Uranus conjunction stimulates, you know, whatever kind of aha moment you might have kind of awareness grows, I think you will be able to take it and apply it over the next few days to get yourself kind of up and running in some direction.
That'll get you out of bed for sure.
Yeah, it just might be, you know, stimulating something, whether it is a plan that you want to put into action, or whether it's a conversation you're having with yourself, or some project you want to get to, something along that line. That beginning first few days of the month seem to have things falling into place in a way that you may or may not expect it would go.
Mm, absolutely. Faster than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really do like that. On the heels of something being stimulated, you really harnessing that energy and taking the ball and running with it. I often ask, hey, Rose, can you mute that? Clients, or I'm talking to clients about, you know, really understanding how an energy is playing out in their life. So I'll ask what their intention might be with certain things that they're wanting, and what's the long-term intention, whether it's a career pursuit or something else. So whenever I'm looking at these energies like you're talking about, they're really key. They're really important to see, you know, how are the energies playing out, like you said, the days that follow this stimulation of energy, we've got checkpoints now coming too, like you mentioned. So it's important to understand how to work with the window of time that follows this and really setting intentions for yourself. I think the Saturn piece here, Rose, is really about taking responsibility for something that you set in motion, creating a game plan. Is what I would say the Saturn transit is also about. Let's talk about some of these checkpoints within all that.
Well, you know, and the one thing I have to say about that game plan and so forth, Kristen, is, you know, noting that it's Gemini and Gemini's moving through a few different things. It's that where you start and where you go next may not be quite as you planned. So having the game plan together is good, but allowing flexibility into that game plan for something you didn't see, didn't know, something that you may need to incorporate that is going to change the flavor there somehow, change the direction. So this is very important. You know that Gemini is about short range and immediate and what is right in front of you. And this is a little bit of a complicated thing because it is really important. Saturn's in the sign of Pisces, and I've said this in many of our shows, that what that's doing is dissolving. It's a dissolving pattern. So it's dissolving something that is meant to dilute, to dissolve, to, you know, to dissipate. And underneath that, Saturn in Pisces will reveal the potential that is ripe and ready. So it's an uncovering aspect. And there are two things, because in terms of the game plan, what is your ultimate objective, right? You know, what is your intention? Where do you want to get to? And Some of this Pisces Gemini thing is can't see the forest for the trees. It's the illusionary, you know, the desire to see it this way and not seeing what's under the hood. So there's two points of that. What I always say is that if in the moment you can make the most authentic decisions for yourself, if you can be at one with yourself in the moment, then the future rolls out as to the optimum. Let me put it that way, right? You know, but if you are making choices in the moment that that are not in keeping with your highest and best interests, it's like a ship. You know, if you're in the ocean and you're going a little bit off course, when you get down the road, you're way off course, right? So It's a bit tricky working with the energies here in terms of do the immediate moment, let tomorrow sort itself out. We still have to keep an eye on the long range future, but the moment, the present moment is vastly important.
Yeah, I agree. And Gemini is so much about the short term. Short trips and you find out what ideas will stick and what won't hold water under these transits. Also, you know, Gemini is about options, having options. And so with Saturn squaring some of these energies, especially over the 8th, 9th, 10th, or 7th, 8th, 9th of Gemini, or sorry, of June, where Saturn really comes into a square, I think, to the Sun and to Venus, it's really testing, you know, which one of your ideas or which one of your, it could be also, I have this option or that option, this trip or that trip, this job or that job, this girl or that girl, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, you know, dating two different people, or different types of people. And they, one of them at some point shows their true colors under that transit, right? You're being tested in a sense, like, you know, something that you really value. Maybe somebody doesn't show up. And then the really that other person will stand out more, you know, in your mind. And so that's another thing that can happen on that transit. What if you're a boss and you're interviewing people for a job that needs to, a post that needs to be filled, and you're the manager and you like two people, you know, that square is going to show you which one would be better, a better hire. I mean, you really have to wait out that turn before you really know.
Yeah, that's well put. We have, let me just see here, June 8, Venus square Saturn, June 9, Sun square Saturn, and June 12, Mercury square Saturn. And the whole month ahead, I think, is structured for testing things out and qualifying in terms of those options, right? Mm-hmm. We have more to say, but we need to go for a break. So,
find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KristenFontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology or over
assist you in answering and your clients answering big questions. Why am I here? Thanks for listening. God bless.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit spafinders.com. At spafinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on spafinders.com right on our homepage. Ah. I'm feeling relaxed already.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we are back. And I wanted to circle back to the beginning of the month briefly, because Jupiter and Mercury are going to be conjunct from the 1st to the 3rd, somewhere around there. And remember that the Sun is in Gemini, ruled by that Mercury. And Jupiter is the ruler of the full moon we just had. So, and we talked about the fact that it will have this filtering effect and just this energizing effect into the future. And so take note of the timing around the 23rd, 24th, 25th of May, and then again, early June, because we now have these two players, right, where the left and the right brain are really working together. Test it for yourself, like try it out, follow your sixth sense at that time. I think it'll serve you quite well. I love that transit. And the other thing that's occurring even on that same day is the sun conjuncts Venus. Actually, it's going to be conjunct Venus for a handful of days there. And Rose, why don't you share how that is impacted when it squares Saturn?
Well, yeah, and that Sun conjunct Venus, that is a superior conjunction. And the superior conjunction, you know, it is the time when Venus is switching from evening phase to morning phase. You know, it starts the next 9 months. So it ends the previous 9 months and begins the next half of the 18-month cycle of Venus, you know, moving around the Sun. And so that's a very potent one for those listeners out there who follow the Venus transit. You know, Venus forms, you know, a five-pointed star in the sky. Its rhythm is quite regular in terms of retrograde patterns over an eight-year cycle. And so this is what, you know, some astrologers are calling the Venus star point and so forth in the sign of Gemini. Now, it is... Venus in the Sun, that's got so much creativity to it. It's, you know, it is, Venus is the planet of evaluating. And in terms of the Sun principle there, you know, it's got a lot of potency, a lot of potential. On that date, we've got the Jupiter and Mercury conjunction as well too. Now, the Sun, Venus, and Mercury and Jupiter are all going to surpass squares to Saturn. Jupiter will start that transit in August, which is a major cycle going from August to June of 2025. But in the meantime, in the month of June, we have the 8th when Venus is going to square Saturn, and the 9th when Sun is going to square Saturn, and and the 12th when Mercury will square Saturn. So the first few days of June, we have this lovely trine aspect, and we have Mars, by the way, in Aries to kind of support all of this moving forward. And then we have from about the 8th to the 12th, of a qualifying. You know, that is, again, meeting up with some compelling force of qualifying. It's a testing of the strength of that plan, that idea, that impetus that you have for moving forward. So know that that's pretty pretty significant. Now, on June 14 as well, too, in the month of June, we have two superior conjunctions. The other one is Mercury. Mercury and the Sun never get very far away from one another, so they can only form the conjunction aspect. They cannot form an opposition, right? You know, so both Venus at superior conjunction on the far side of the Sun, Mercury superior conjunction on the far side of the Sun. Both of these are illuminating, right? So they're illuminating something, making you aware of something. Venus is our evaluation, our relationship, the way we're connecting the dots. Mercury is how we're communicating, how we're perceiving, and shifting opinions as well, too. What have you got to say about that, Kristen?
I'm going back again to early June, because I love when we were talking about the Sun-Venus conjunction, we were talking about Jupiter-Mercury as well. I just wanted to note that the Sun and Venus are forming gorgeous aspects to the nodes, the transiting South Node in Libra, which is ruled by that Venus, and the transiting North Node in Aries. So I feel like we talked about this flow, this nice energy as we enter June. There's like a weaving of energy, a braiding of energy. Maybe in your relationships too, you feel like you're just in a flow that feels good. We also have a new moon on the 6th of June in Gemini that's conjunct Venus, but it is moving into a square to that Saturn. And so while I love the Sun and the Moon and Venus all conjunct, how beautiful, Jupiter still conjunct Gemini as well at that time. There's a need to be patient around something, I feel, also with that square. I do feel, too, as I mentioned, that there might be so many options for something. It's forcing you, it's uplifting, this new moon. You've got options, you've got many paths you can take. And so it can be a time too when you have to be, you have to take the time that's needed for something. You need to maybe research something a little bit more, or maybe you've decided you want to take a trip somewhere and it's 4 months out, so there's some kind of waiting that may need to happen. But I do feel like there's such a mix of energy, but there's so much there with this new moon as well on the 6th.
Mars leaves Aries for Taurus on the 8th, that same day that Venus squares Saturn, and we start with these squares that happen. And, you know, Mars has been in Aries for that six-week period, and it's all experiential, right? You know, it's go, go, go. As Mars moves into Taurus, then that is solidifying that's getting a better feel for things with the Venus square Saturn qualifying, what is durable or what can endure, what it is that that can be workable, more workable. Mars in Aries is its natural sign, but it's all the experiential track. When Mars moves into Taurus, it's about feeling your way through it instead, right? You know, feeling your way through the evaluation process, tuning inward here to figure out, now that I've done this, that, and the other thing, where did I get the goods out of all of that, right? You know, where did I get the goods out of all of that? And what is it now that I think I could maybe situate myself with this rather than that? And I think you've said this a few times, but again, we do want to remind people, Saturn, it's about giving it time, right?
Exactly.
Time reveals all.
We need to move to a break.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green, Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view. And what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KristenFontana.com.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding genes that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Genes has done extensive research and they have genes that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Take one step towards spirit, spirit will take 1,000 steps toward you. Come explore the world of evolutionary astrology with Rose Marcus. Rose Marcus is well known for her heartfelt passion, sensitive counseling skills, and dedication to helping others. You can now study evolutionary astrology from the comfort of your own home through live teleconference classes with Rose. To register for the next Evolutionary Astrology School, to read your in-depth monthly horoscope, or to book a private astrology with Rose Marcus, please visit her website, www.rosemarcus.com.
Oh man, it never fails. My suitcase just got ripped apart.
Life is a journey. Make it a pleasant one. Use Samsonite. You know the name. For almost a century, Samsonite Luggage has proved itself to be the worldwide leader in innovative travel solutions. Let it be yours. Visit HealthyLife.net's affiliate Samsonite on our homepage and click to look at the fine luggage from suitcases to golf travel bags. And don't forget, take a look at their travel accessories. Make life a journey, a pleasant one, with Samsonite.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All righty. So we were talking a little bit about June entering, well, entering June being a nice flow, a lot going on, a lot of excitement. And then again, got to put your money where your mouth is, they say, and start to really just to be involved, be present, be responsible for what you're setting in motion and follow through, I think is a huge word or expression for Saturn squaring all that Gemini energy, right? What are you up for the challenge? I think is what Saturn's going to ask you. But so as soon as Mars enters Taurus, and it will square Pluto on the way in, so that's 8th, 9th, 10th time period as well in June. And so the question becomes, it really is about rolling up your sleeves and kind of getting your hands in the dirt with what you are molding or birthing or really investing your soul into at this point. And so you know really what you want, and now you really need to get into it and to commit to it all the way. With Gemini, we can change our mind a lot, all that energy, right? I don't really want to be doing this right now, but your soul is asking you to be there. So that Pluto square Mars, and I really do feel, please do pay attention to what is coming up for you at this time, because it is going to be reflecting a hurdle within your own evolutionary journey, potentially. What hurdle do I need to clear so I feel like I am progressing, I am evolving? Be up for the challenge. And that there will be some kind of hurdle, but it doesn't have to be something to fear. It's just something that may take more from you than it would otherwise.
Well, I think, I'm going to suggest here that the month has a few different chapters. It is the first of the month there through that new moon is really an opportunity time. And then from about the 8th through until about the 12th, it's a qualifying time. And if during that period of time you completely finish off, maybe you finish, you know, I mean, June is a month when semesters finish, right? You know, school is out for the summer and so forth. But in any case, either you might completely finish off with something that you've done. Maybe it's short. Maybe you just took it on for a little bit and it's done. Or maybe it is stage one and that's out of the way. So now you can go on to stage two. Or it's a qualifying that you've decided that option one doesn't look as good as option two, you know, anything along that line. But you're going to watch that middle range of the month. If you're on a complete stop, know that from the 14th forward, you could be into, you know, something fresh and new. And the 16th, 17th, all the way through the summer solstice on the 20th could be progressively revealing. You might start out with, I have no idea here, but by the time you get through that week, you might have a better sense of how to play it, or, you know, which option, you know, what to get started on next. And that will take us through to the end of the month when there's a really nice Mercury-Saturn trine on the 26th of the month, kind of moving forward. But that's the way I see the pacing for the month, Kristen. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And as the planets start to shift into Cancer, so we're moving through different archetypes. We're feeling all this Taurus Earth energy. Then we come into Gemini, so lively, so many options, exciting, and a lot of ideas. And it can be social. It can just be a lot of interactive energy. And then we shift again then into Cancer energy with the sun at the solstice. We have Venus and Mercury conjunct on the 17th of June in Cancer. And I really love when things shift into Cancer as well, because the message is, I really need to feel emotionally connected to what I'm doing. I want to feel more emotionally connected to my family or my friends or my work. And so the ideas become ideas that must have that emotional component. And so what happens is Venus and Mercury then move into very supportive positions to the Mars and Taurus. And when we feel emotionally connected to what we're driving, it's doesn't feel like work, right? Most often. I love what I do. I can't believe I get paid for what I do. It becomes a labor of love, something like that. So anyway, that's how I see it. I really love the Taurus and Cancer connection. In fact, the Sun, Venus, and Mercury all supportively sextile Mars and Taurus at different times. The 21st is when Mercury sextiles Saturn. Mercury sextiles Mars and Taurus. And then that will follow with Venus doing the same. Venus will sextile Mars on the 25th in Taurus, and then the Sun, I'm trying to find that date here, it's probably going to be the end of the month or early July, but you get my point. There's this, it's like a thread of energy that keeps something moving, the emotion moving and connected, and I think that's really important when you're working on something that means a lot to you. So the other aspect that you mentioned that I absolutely love is the Mercury trine Saturn, because Mercury is an air, can be an air sign or earth in Virgo as a ruler, but it's in Cancer, which is an emotional energy, trining Saturn in Pisces, also very feeling, potentially very healing and very elevating. And so we end the month on the 26th before you and I meet again, with what feels grounding, what feels meaningful, and also potentially elevating.
Well said. I'm happy that you brought in the Cancer archetype as well, too, because that's a regroup, right? You know, and And when we have Cancer month, it's about getting back in touch, about feeling your way along. It's about becoming more secure, and it's about prioritizing self, right? You know, self-care, family, you know, it's a regroup. I'm going to go back to the baseline. And I just wanted to mention that on the 21st, the day after the summer solstice, we have a full moon in Capricorn, right? You know, so we've been talking about that Saturn energy. It's right at the start of, you know, Cancer Capricorn archetypes here. And so that is about, about legitimizing what it is that you need for yourself for this period of time. So let's all just slow down with this Gemini stuff. Let's just take a breath. And again, let's try not to spin wheels. I don't think you're going to be able to move forward on some things if they're not meant to be. The Saturn squares are going to let you know that they're not meant to be. Mm-hmm. And so work with the stars. This is why we do the show, is so that we can give you some heads up, some insight into what's coming, so that you can take full advantage of what the stars are setting up for you, and so that you can optimize to your time the best you can.
That's just it. I mean, Saturn in Pisces, it has a vision of something that you cannot see, right? Because it's in Pisces. And so it knows better what you need and what's best for you and the best way for you to spend your time. And so you just have to trust in that. I just want to leave or close the show, I should say, with a visual. You know, I had this vision of being at the beach with the friends and family. There's all this excitement, beach balls, what have you, music's blasting, and you're really enjoying yourself in a very Gemini way, and then Venus way, and then you decide, you know, to take a dive into the ocean, and that is Cancer. The minute you leave the sand and you enter the ocean, something just dramatically changes, right? You go from this heady, chatty social place or whatever it might be, you're in conversation, and then the world stops. I mean, everybody knows when you submerge yourself in water, whether it's a bathtub, a lake, or the ocean, or a swimming pool, you can't even hear any chatter anymore. It just becomes calm. You become one with the water, one with the sea, one with your emotion, and one with it all. So make that the goal, ultimately, and find your way back into the water as we close June.
That's fabulous. And I just want to repeat one thing you said. Saturn knows best.
Like Father knows best. Father knows best. Oh, yeah. Okay. It was so nice to gather with you again, Rose, and have a wonderful weekend at Norwalk up in Seattle. And we'll be back next month to gather again. Until next time. Namaste.